Book 1, Chapter 1, God. Question 1, What is God? God is the supreme intelligence, first cause of all things. 2. What is to be understood by infinity? That which has neither beginning nor end, the unknown, all that is unknown is infinite. 3. Can it be said that God is infinity? An incomplete definition. Poverty of human speech, incompetent to define what transcends human intelligence. 4. What proof have we of the existence of God? The axiom which you apply in all your scientific researches, there is no effect without a cause. Search out the cause of whatever is not the work of man, and reason will furnish the answer to your question. 5. What is to be inferred from the intuition of the existence of God, which may be said to be the common property of the human mind? That God exists, for whence could the human mind derive this intuition if it had no real basis? The inference to be drawn from the fact of this intuition is a corollary of the axiom. There is no effect without a cause. 6. May not our seemingly intuitive sense of the existence of God be the result of education and of acquired ideas? If such were the case, how should this intuitive sense be possessed by your savages? 7. Is the first cause of the formation of things to be found in the essential properties of matter? If such were the case, what would be the cause of those properties? There must always be a first cause. 8. What is to be thought of the opinion that attributes the first formation of things to a fortuitous combination of matter, in other words, to chance? Another absurdity. Who that is possessed of common sense can regard chance as an intelligent agent? And, besides, what is chance? Nothing. 9. What proof have we that the first cause of all things is a supreme intelligence, superior to all other intelligences? You have a proverb which says, "The workman is known by his work." Look around you, and, from the quality of the work, infer that of the workman. 10. Can man comprehend the essential nature of God? No, he lacks the sense required for comprehending it. 11. Will man ever become able to comprehend the mystery of the divinity? When his mind shall no longer be obscured by matter, and when, by his perfection, he shall have brought himself nearer to God, we will see and comprehend him. 12. If we cannot comprehend the essential nature of God, can we have an idea of some of his perfections? Yes, of some of them. Man comprehends them better in proportion as he raises himself above matter. He obtains glimpses of them through the exercise of his intelligence. 13. When we say that God is eternal, infinite, unchangeable, immaterial, unique, all-powerful, sovereign, just and good, have we not the complete idea of his attributes? Yes, judging from your point of view, because you think that you sum up everything in those terms, but you must understand that there are things which transcend the intelligence of the most intelligent man, and for which your language, limited to your ideas and sensations, has no expressions. Your reason tells you that God must possess those perfections in the supreme degree, for, if one of them were lacking, or were not possessed by him in an infinite degree, he would not be superior to all, and consequently would not be God. In order to be above all things, God must undergo no vicissitudes. He must have none of the imperfections of which the imagination can conceive. 14. Is God a being distinct from the universe, or is he, according to the opinion of some, the result of all the forces and intelligences of the universe? If the latter were the case, God would not be God, for he would be effect and not cause. He cannot be both cause and effect. God exists. You cannot doubt his existence, and that is one essential point. Do not seek to go beyond it, do not lose yourselves in a labyrinth which, for you, is without an issue. Such inquiries would not make you better, they would rather tend to add to your pride, by causing you to imagine that you knew something, while, in reality, you would know nothing. Put aside systems. You have things enough to think about that concern you much more. Beginning with yourselves, study your own imperfections, that you may get rid of them. This will be far more useful to you than the vain attempt to penetrate the impenetrable. 15. What is to be thought of the opinion according to which all natural bodies, all the beings, all the globes of the universe are parts of the divinity, and constitute in their totality the divinity itself, in other words the pantheistic theory? Man, not being able to make himself God, would fain make himself out to be, at least, a part of God. 16. Those who hold this theory profess to find in it the demonstration of some of the attributes of God. The worlds of the universe being infinitely numerous, God is thus seen to be infinite, vacuum, or nothingness, being nowhere, God is everywhere, God being everywhere, since everything is an integral part of God, he is thus seen to be the intelligent cause of all the phenomena of the universe. What can we oppose to this argument? The dictates of reason. Reflect on the assumption in question, and you will have no difficulty in detecting its absurdity.